are the Ancient of Days. Lord, we come this night to look into your heart, that which you conceived from the Ancient of Time, from the generations beyond time, and even to the generation that shall be after time. We say, Lord, let those ancient counsels, may they be broken upon our hearts this evening. Lord, that you will come with the indelible pen, that you might bring a seal, break the seal upon the foundations of our being. Lord, that you might make a mark Lord, that you say a time will come when you will have mercy on Zion. And Lord, we said that set time is even now. For we see we have come to that time where even the elect are being deceived. And we ask you, Lord, to intervene. Lord, touch us. Touch us, O Lord. And deliver us from this deception. The deceptions of life. Bring us to that place of reality. We pray that you might give seed to the sower and abundant bread to the eater. Lord, that we might have strength to rise up in this last age as part of this great priesthood they are raising. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. What I have impression to do this evening is to lay a foundation, because what God is saying to his people has changed, and because it has changed, it is, the Bible says, you should make the vision plain, that he may run that readeth it. At the first time when this war began to come, many of us began to run, I inclusive, without understanding the vision. And many of us have run into the ground because the vision was not well set. Now God has begun again to redress and to address some of these issues, and it is important that the vision is made plain. So I'm going to be reading some scriptures. If you have questions, you can note them, and then we can address them either today or some other time. The first scripture I want to read is from Matthew 13. Matthew 13, verse 43. He says, then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun. You know, when you use that English word, it is comparative language. And what you are comparing with is of the same quality and character. So it says, then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun. So the sun is the only thing in our experience that can come close, not the same, come close to showing what is in the mind of God. So he's speaking of brightness, he's speaking of light in the soul. We are talking about the soul. So it says, then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun. The sun can never dim, apart from in certain circumstances. Shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father, who had ears to hear, let him hear. Luke 11, verse 33. It says, no man, when he had lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under the bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. The light of the body, or the source of light of the body, is the eye. We know that man, you, me, we have three natures. There are three natures. You have the body, you have the soul, you have the spirit. Man is a soul that has received a spirit from God, so that with that spirit he can hear God and connect to God, and then lives in a body. So the body, I want you to mark my words, the body is a body for the soul, and the soul is the body for the spirit. The scripture says there are different kinds of seed, that for every seed God will give it a body, so that that seed can be expressed in the body. The purpose of the body is to express the natures and glories of the seed. Without the body, the seed cannot be expressed. So the body is under the control of the seed. Amen. So it says the seed you plant, God will give it a body. So the body is bound to change. Amen. Bodies are transitional. They serve a purpose for a time. The seed you plant has a body. That's not the body that shall be. It is only the body to cover the seed. And when you plant it down, the essence in the seed is expressed through another glorious body. Amen. So it says the light of the body is the eye. As the body has an eye, so also your soul has an eye. So put it the other way around. As your body has openings, channels through which it receives information and gives out responses, so also the soul has openings through which it receives information or receives life or receives light, and through which it also expresses light or darkness. Now, this is what the devil doesn't want us to know. Amen. So the light of the body is the eye. Now read the English. When thy eye is whole, is single, is focused, like the cherubims. The cherubims have a focus on the mercy seat. Do you understand? They don't look anywhere else. They have a focus on the mercy seat. That is a single eye. And because of that, they are full of light. Amen. So when the eye is single, thy whole body also is full light. But when thy eye, or the source of the light that's coming into your body or your soul, is evil, or is diseased, or has different focuses, then thy body or your soul is full of darkness. 35. Take heed, therefore. This is Jesus speaking. That the light which is in thee be not darkness. What does that English mean? It means that there are two kinds of light. Darkness is light. This is what Jesus told us. I'm not in the matter at all. Amen. Amen. Says, take it that the light in your soul is not darkness. Amen. If thy whole body or your soul, therefore, be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. Amen. So, we are speaking of the light in the soul. And the scripture is telling us that this nature of this light is either light or darkness. So darkness is a form of light. Amen. I want to read Revelations 18. It says, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen. Is fallen, and it's become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Verse 3. And all nations, because of time, I won't pause so much, but please note, that word nation is not speaking of Nigeria or speaking of America, or it's speaking of the nations of the soul. The soul has three nations. That word translated nation, it means ethnos. E-T-H-N-O-S. It's from where you have the word ethnic. It means a group of people that have the same characteristic or the same appetite or the same longings or behaviors. And when you check the different concordances, they will tell you that as part of the meaning, it also refers to a group of souls that exhibit the same mannerisms. So when he speaks of the healing of the nations, God, it's God that is speaking. So you must go into the mind of God. You have to understand God's language. He's not speaking of Nigeria, because what God has in mind is beyond Nigeria or America or any natural nation. He's speaking of souls. And there are three types of souls. And there are three realms. I'm using the word realm with authority. You know, because we Christian people, we are shying away from reality. And the reality is that the cell phone you use every day is functioning on realms, on different dimensions and wavelength of energy. Amen. So because you are using it, I have authority to talk about wavelength. Amen. Amen. There are different dimensions of energy, different dimensions of life. Hallelujah. And the soul of man operates at different dimensions of energy. Either the dimension of darkness, which is light. Light is energy, isn't it also? Or operates in another dimension of light, which is called light. Amen. So the man that is walking in this body, his soul is operating at different dimensions. Amen. So Jesus said he knew what was in man. So because of it, he knew how to deal with man. But before we get there, I want us to take it gradually so that we can see what we are saying. So it says, for all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of our fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. This is speaking of a dining table. It's speaking of a feast. Amen. That's how to break it down. It's speaking of a feasting that is taking place in Babylon. So Babylon is a realm of existence. Babylon, you know, was a city, the town Babel, built by Nimrod. Is it not so? It's an ancient city. Many years ago, it was built physically. And it is still a city now. When you go, the country of Iran, which was former Persia, they have built around Babylon. So the word of God comes to us in different dimensions. So when you hear Babylon, don't just think of the natural, you have to take it to the spiritual. And the spiritual experience or meaning of the word must be applied to your soul, which is the fullness of the Spirit. So we are looking at the highest dimension of it, how it affects your soul and my soul. So he's speaking of Babylon as a habitation of spirits, of unclean beds, of devils. Amen. Let's look at another city, Hebrews 12. Early this morning, I was being quickened with a word on the two cities. And then Rasam came in the morning and began to talk about the two kingdoms. So I knew it was the same word. Amen. So we're just continuing from where we stopped in the morning, in talking about the two cities. There are two cities. There are two realms of life in which the soul of men dwell and will dwell. There are two. One is called Babylon. The other one is called Zion. There are two. Amen. So we are going to investigate those two cities and see how it relates to us. Hebrews 12, verse 22 says, "But you have come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and into an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect." You know, in the afternoon, Brother was saying that there are many dignitaries in this room. Many of them you can't see. Amen. But the room is heavily populated with the spirit of just men. Hallelujah. 24. "And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than the blood of Abel." So there are two kingdoms. Now, in this kingdom, you have spirits on both sides. In Zion, you have God the Father, you have the Son, you have the Holy Ghost, you have the blood of Jesus, you have angels, and you have spirits of just men made perfect. You have the firstborn, all in that group. Then in the other city, you have the dragon, the devil. You have a spirit called the beast. It's a spirit. And it's a strong man. By the way, you cannot destroy the goods of a strong man except you do what? You bind the spirit. Now, this is what the devil doesn't want us to know. Many of us, we want to change our location. You will only change your church address from 109 Agri Road to Montessori Street. That's the only thing you can do. But if you want to leave realms, you must bind the spirit that rules that realm. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. Coming out of Babylon is not changing church address. It is binding the strong man that rules that realm. And there are three realms. The realm of what he calls the sea. And we know the sea means the nations. And it's not just nation. It means what the Bible calls the natural man. That is the soul that does not recognize that there is anything called God. It's a dead soul. Dead is dead. I will soon draw it on the board. His spirit is cut off from God permanently. He's not in fellowship with God. He doesn't recognize that there is anything called God. And many of us are being perplexed by the amount of darkness we are seeing in the world. You don't need to. The Bible says that in Revelation 16 that every living soul died in the sea. If you think you're going to get life from watching Hollywood or Nollywood, forget it. You're in the wrong place. Every soul has died in that realm. They cannot give you life. The only thing you can get from Hollywood, both the one that is good, by the way, it's called good and evil. Don't you understand? It's good, the world you live in, the principle is good and evil. Or Sunday or Wednesday. Some people are rejoicing, others are crying. That is the world. Sometimes you are happy, sometimes you are sad. You got, and both of them is darkness. Hallelujah. Amen. And God must deliver us from that sentence of life. Hallelujah. There is a place where there is no sadness. Hallelujah. That is the place God is inviting us to. But before you can go there, you must first of all decide that you don't want good and evil. Hallelujah. Because natural man is satisfied. The emotion is satisfied with darkness. John 3 says, because men loved darkness, they will not come to the light. Because our deeds are evil. Do you know what? That word love means fondness. That you are entertained with darkness. If I want to rejoice, or I want to relax, I go to darkness. I put on movie. And that is the entertainment I get. It's darkness. I know we have been fighting to say there are good movies and bad movies. Forget it. All that is English language. By the time God begins to open our eyes, we will see that it is English language. Amen. They all are classed under darkness. Amen. So I was saying that you have these two categories, light and darkness. Zion and Babylon. You cannot cross from the one to the other without going through some experiences. They are gatekeepers. So I was talking about Babylon, that you have the dragon. Revelation 13 tells us you have the dragon. The dragon has a seat, has an authority, and he gave the seat to what? The beast. It's a spirit that rules the realm of the earth and the sea. Because there's another spirit called the false prophet. It's a religious spirit. And that is the one that is giving you and me trouble. Because that's the one that is ruling over us. Ruling over me. The false prophet. That's what ruling over me. That is the. And I must overcome that spirit. Before I can leave it and go into the heavens. So there are three: the earth, the sea, and then the heavens. Say, rejoice, O ye heavens, and ye that dwell therein. Heaven has a population, and my life ambition is to be part of that population. Hallelujah. If I want to change from where I am now, because I know where I am, I don't know about you, me, I know where I am, I must first of all bind that strong man. Then I can go. Amen. So in Zion, you have the dragon, the devil, you have the beast. In Babylon. And then you have the false prophet. Then you have these devils. Devils. Fallen angels. And then you have the demons that have come through different generations. Some of them according to Job, are bound in the sea. They are written. They are in the sea. That's why men love to go to the sea. Well, don't let us get into that. According to Job, said that the ancients are bound in the sea. That God drowned them and he locked them up in the sea. Amen. Yeah, I'm sure you have heard of stories of things happening in the sea. I don't know, but what I'm telling from scripture, there are demons that have their abode in the deep. Amen. And then you have the familiar spirits. They have the spirits that rule different natures of the soul, in the emotions, in the desires, in the will, in the mind. They are there. There are seven angels, you know, so at the four corners of the earth. And they told them, hold on. Okay, this is sorry, four. Hold on until we seal the servants of God in their foreheads. So this is Zion, and then this is Babylon. But let's go to Leviticus, because some of us are born in Zion. We have not been properly schooled. Leviticus 23, we're not going to read it. We'll just speak one or two things and then we'll move on. Leviticus 23 is the chapter that tells us your life history and my life history. It says three times in a year or in your lifetime that God expects you to have three experiences. Okay, the first experience is being born again or Passover. The second one is the experience of Pentecost. Both of them, the first two, are outer court experiences. When Ruth began to come back, she came into Israel at the time of the barley harvest. Is it not so? The barley harvest, which is the first harvest in Israel, which usually you will have late January into February, the first harvest is barley harvest. And it speaks of the experience of being born again. That's the barley harvest. And the Bible says that she began to glean and get involved in what was going on from the time, because sometimes the barley harvest extends. So she was working in the field at the time of the barley harvest and the wheat harvest. The wheat harvest speaks of the Pentecostal experience. It is a place of activity. It is a place of favor. Because when she got there, God favored her, isn't it not so? And she began to reap. They began to drop some things for her. She began to have provision. She began to grow and add some weight. And she says, the Lord has done good things for me, isn't it not so? She began to rejoice. And, you know, she has favor with the man and with the people. And it's a place of activity, so much activity. But it is an outer court experience. So there are three experiences. The first one is being born again. The second one is the Pentecostal experience. And by the way, I feel that we have to make sure that everyone who is not baptized in the Holy Ghost is it goes through that experience in this camp. Amen. Particularly our young children. Amen. Even the older ones. Some of us old people are not born again. Sorry, are not even baptized in the Holy Ghost. And what we are talking about it's going to be difficult. By the time I start drawing the board, you will see it's going to be difficult without the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So I'm sure that we will have some time in the camp to minister that baptism of the Holy Ghost, even to the children. Do you know why? They told Samson, they told the mother, say, this one shall be a Nazarite from the womb. We end time people, we are excusing our children. Don't excuse any child though. The child can speak in tongues when it is small. I don't hear any amen.
Amen.
Let's bring them, lay hands on them. Those who are pregnant, lay hands on them. And then the young ones also lay hands. And we need to consecrate everyone unto the Lord. So don't excuse your children and say, no, this one shouldn't hear the word of God. They must sit down. Because when you put CNN Cartoon Network here, then you will know that they are not Nazarites. Yes. Just drop Cartoon Network. Every child now will not focus. Let's stop deceiving ourselves. We have spoiled our children. And the only thing is repentance. Let's train them. No matter how young they are, train them. Let them learn how to speak in tongues. Carry big Bible. Wave hand. I say, loose, loose. Amen. Hallelujah. So we are talking about being born again, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the Pentecostal experience. In this same Leviticus 23, I'm just running down it quickly. It says, and many of us, I don't know if you are aware, it says, when you want to celebrate the feast of Pentecost, I should bake it with leaven. Bake two loaves and put leaven. How can God tell you to put leaven in the bread you want to bake? What is God saying to you? He's saying that this is not the place. Someone says still. It's a place of mixture. The Pentecostal experience can never satisfy you. It's death. And that is why it is decaying. Every day it's being eaten up by leaven. Every day. It's becoming bad and bad. But do you know the breaking news? The so-called end-time church is now Pentecostal. Do you hear me? Let me say it again. The so-called end-time church is now Pentecostal. And there's a new breaking news coming. It hasn't landed yet. He's saying that very soon that church will be found at the brazen altar. It will be struggling for life because it's almost on the way out. Amen. Because what you have, if you don't progress, you begin to go back. Amen. So there are these two experiences I've spoken of. But those are not the things we're interested in. We're not interested in Pentecost and this. There is something. So there is a third feast. The feast of the seventh month. Hallelujah. And this feast of the seventh month has three. There are three of them. Three. On the first day of the seventh month, you begin to blow the trumpet. So it's called the feast of blowing of a trumpet means an announcement, a call, a movement in the spirit that tells you to move forward. In other words, he's saying, come out of Pentecost. Come out of the barley harvest. There is something better. So you are going beyond the Pentecostal experience. That experience is not saying, change one church and go to another church. It is speaking of something more profound than that. And the only way you can understand it is to go back to Adam. If you don't go back to Adam, you will see that your vision will be incomplete. And that is our problem. Now, what was it that happened in Adam? We'll come to it in a minute. But on the first day of the seventh month, by the way, when Solomon finished building his temple, when did he dedicate it? It was on the seventh month. That was when he set it up. Okay? So he says on the tenth day of that seventh month, you will have a day of atonement, which I'm going to read very shortly. And then he says, on the 14th day of that same 7 month, you will have a feast for 8 days called the Feast of Tabernacles. So all these feasts took place in the 7th month. Now, the 7th month I've used for you was the 7 month that the priests followed. So the priests had 7 months in their service. But in the agricultural experience of harvest, that 7 month actually took place in the 1st month of the agricultural calendar. So he says that on the 1st month he will give you the early and the later rain in 1 month, because it's a month of harvest. So even in natural Israel, they had 3 main harvests. I've told you the first one, barley harvest, the second one. But the last harvest was a harvest of fruits, was a fruit harvest. And there were 3 main fruits that were harvested. The fig tree was harvested, the olive was harvested, and then the vine was harvested. Now if you look at Numbers, Judges chapter 9, it gives you an idea of what the fig tree means. The fig tree is very sweet, very, very sweet. So it's speaking of a sweetness that is going to come into the body of Christ. That's very fair. That should be coming into my soul at this time. When people meet me, they should be experiencing sweetness. And I want to beg you, if you have any stones you are carrying, drop them. Because what is coming is too big for you to be throwing stones. If you have any stones, forget it. Just forget it. Any differences, just bury it. Forget it. Because I'm telling you, what is coming is so big that you don't have time for any of those things. The olive was from where you had the oil. And the oil speaks of the anointing. Is it not so? The oil is the symbol of the Holy Ghost. Is it not so? And there was a particular woman who had to have oil in her nature before she could go to meet the king. Do you know her? Her name is called Esther. Esther is an example of the wise virgin. Esther is an example of the wise virgin. You don't just wake up, wear trousers, and go and see the king. She needed 6 months with oil of myrrh, isn't that so? She needed another 6 months with sweet odors before she could even think of going to meet the king. And many of us are not prepared and we want to march in to see the king. By the way, the king is looking for what? He's looking at the soul. The soul is the bride of Christ. Look, when God talks of temple, he's speaking of the soul. And hopefully, I'm just trying to summarize, give a general picture, then we will go into the word. When God talks about temple, he means the soul. When God talks about temple, he means the soul. He's not talking about, forget about these cathedrals. When God talks about temple, he means the soul. And from the first time Jesus began to preach, he began to announce a new temple. Says this physical one you see here, this was the greatest, 46 years of building. And he says, destroy it, and in 3 days I will raise a new temple. And the Bible says he spoke of the temple of his body. And when we are talking about temple, I want you to understand the story about temple. Paul said, know you not that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost? And now one says that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. You have to read the Bible and turn it around. Because there is no partiality in God. If God can dwell in your temple, spirits also can dwell in your temple. or in your body. If God says your body is the holy, is the temple, then also he must give spirits the opportunity to also dwell in your temple. So yesterday we were talking about the man of gatherings, isn't it so? That man is me. Because I've had some devils a long time. And I have been unclothed by those demons. You know, I'm not talking about you, holy brethren. I'm talking about myself. There are spirits I have had for a long time. And those spirits, they drive me to the tombs. And they make me to, they desire darkness. My body must express those spirits. Because they are living in me. Do you understand? The spirits want darkness. So they make you to go to darkness. I know you don't want to. Okay. Let me not say you don't want to. Okay, because God is changing our appetite. So I'm sure, but in Jesus' name, you want to hear it. Amen. Amen. We dwell in tombs among the dead. Internet, dead. Nollywood, dead. Education doctor, dead. I won't go further than that because this is my own territory. I'm only talking about my territory. I'm talking about my own territory. Amen. Say amen now.
Amen.
The brother is talking of himself. Amen. A tomb is a place where there is deathness. You go there, you get defied. And Jesus says, in the world you will have tribulation. But how is it that I love to go to the tomb? Because there are spirits who will drive me there because they want to have fellowship with the dead. Hallelujah. That is the victory the church must have. For you to have that victory, you need to have understanding. It's not, you don't eat granite and you go there. You have to go, you have to have understanding. So the Bible says you must begin to break off your fallow grounds. You must begin to afflict the soul. How do you afflict the soul? Why do you need to afflict the soul? He says on the 10th day of that feast, you begin to afflict the soul. Now, this feast, this last feast, called the Feast of Tabernacles, the last time. Now, even historically for the church has finished with the first two ones. Martin Luther brought us through the first one, you know, so the judge shall live by faith. We finished with that many, many years ago. 100 years ago, some people brought us through the second one, the Susan Street Revival, you know, so we are finished with that one. There remains another one. There remains yet a rest for the people of God. What God is speaking is beyond end time, the thing they call end time, or M. Montessori, or whatever you want to call. It's beyond those names. He's speaking of an experience in God, an experience in the soul. Hallelujah. You see, it's very easy to form a movement. Because immediately the Holy, immediately there was a glory, Peter said, Jesus, hey, let's stay here. Let's be three tabernacles. I will take care of them. You, this one. You, this one. You, this one. Let us stay here. He began to organize it immediately. So as for the thing called end time, forget it. It's over. Hallelujah. God is speaking of an experience. An experience of the soul. Now, we are talking of darkness. He says, if the light that is in my soul be darkness, how great is that darkness? The Bible says that on the sixth day, he made the beasts. You know so? And in the timing, it is first evening before it is morning. Do you understand? In God's prophetic calendar, it is first evening then the evening builds up to darkness and builds us to midnight, then the midnight breaks and the light begins to come. So it says evening and morning. So let us even assume that the calendar we're using is correct, is not correct. Brother Fikri is here. Brother Jamel is here, so I won't say anything. When they will talk, they will tell us about calendar. You will see that the year 2000 has not yet reached in their own calendar. So let's all be very, very quiet though. In their own calendar, the year 2000 has not yet reached. We are still counting. Amen. So which calendar is God using? Is he using your own? Or you using the Ethiopian calendar? God knows. Amen. So where are we? At what period of day are we? Amen. The sixth day has two dimensions. There is the darkness part of it, and then there is the light part of it. The light part, the part of the sixth day that is dark, that is day, is going to bring in the seventh day. And that seventh day is a day of rest. The earth must come into its rest. Even Sister Doma was telling us that one rascal was saying that waiting for the satanic age. There's no problem. Because even with Aaron, there was a contest. Isn't it also? Whose rod has the Lord anointed? No problem. Let midnight come. It's midnight that determines who has the right rod. Amen. Amen. Brethren, that's why we must prepare for midnight. Make no mistake about it. Darkness is creeping in on us. You know, I say it's like you go to the airport. I always like to watch the planes. You see a spot, and every moment growing bigger. It's going to land, and it's coming. It's coming. I'm telling you, the plane is coming. But this plane is darkness. It's coming. Every day is getting darker and darker and darker. And when you see the sign, that is when you get prepared. By the way, where will the darkness be manifested? Jesus told us already. The darkness is within. For he says that only he who now letteth will let until ek misos genete. That means out of the mist it comes forth. The darkness is coming within. And there is nothing you and I can do unless you do and follow the right process. If not, the darkness will overcome even the light in you. Because if you look at the outer court, when it is 6 o'clock, if you like, your father can be high priest, whoever you are. When it is 6 o'clock, darkness will come upon the outer court.
Oh, yes.
And by the way, me, I am in the outer court. I know you, brethren. You are maybe in the holiest place, but me, I am where? In the altar. I'm saying, God, just I'm struggling. Let me even enter the holy place. I know some of us say we are already in the holiest of all. In fact, we are eating and dining there. Praise God. But me, I am in the outer court. Amen. To enter into the holy place, you must come to the brazen laver. You must come to that place of consecration. Now, there is no priesthood without consecration. Me, I'm a natural priest in the natural. So I can tell you about consecration. Okay, I wear. Okay, I was a priest in the natural. Okay, they say I'm not anymore. Praise God. I agree, I'm not anymore. Amen. So if you come to me, I will tell you about consecration. Amen. When I wake up in the morning, they are already gathered. 6 o'clock, they are gathered. So I can tell you about it. There are places you cannot go. There are places you cannot eat. There are places you cannot drink. There are clothes you cannot wear. There are people you cannot marry. Is that true?
Yes.
But the end time church is the only one that can do everything. We are liberated people. Hallelujah. How dare you talk to me about my dressing? The end time church is the freest group of people that we've ever known. and you say you are, yeah, where are you people now? The most holy of holies. Amen. So what we are saying is that we must come to consecration. And consecration is a message he is giving to us. Now, the reason why we will need consecration is just one major issue. For you to be a priest, you must have a specific cloth or garment that you wear. Someone was mentioning about it that there was a man that they found in the wedding feast. What was his problem? He didn't have a wedding garment. Let me tell you something. The most important issue in this earth is the marriage of the Lamb. It was conceived even before Adam was created. It was a burden. God had desired sons. He said that these sons will be priests. These sons will be joint heads. There is a word that would have used, but I won't use it. Do you know what is a joint head? The same equal, same rights, same, I don't know, the lawyers will speak better, same rights, same privilege, same benefit, no difference, same share with Jesus Christ. None of us understand, but the Bible says he's revealing it to us by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. From the foundation, he planned that there will be a people, that those people will be called Christ. Do you understand? Christ was conceived from before time. It was conceived from before time. And a few years ago, it was manifested on the earth. Do you understand? That's how it works in the spirit. 1,000 years with God is like nothing has happened. Amen. So we're talking about this Feast of Tabernacles, the last one. And I'm using different words to say that that's where we have come to. We're hearing a trumpet, the seventh trumpet, the last trumpet, saying, when they blow that trumpet, that blow on the seventh month, is the last trumpet, is the last feast. And the people restart rejoicing because on the 10th day, when the man goes in, their sins will all be forgiven. You know so? Because the high priest is going to break through the veil. And he's going to carry the sins of the people. When he goes in there, he obtains deliverance and salvation for everybody. So everyone is waiting for the seventh month with anticipation. Do you understand? And the Bible said that Jesus is a high priest after a new order. Hallelujah. Which order is that one? Is it the Montessori or Assemblies of God? It is an order called the Order of Melchizedek. It's a priesthood of the soul. It's a priesthood of your mind, your emotions, your desire. That is the new priest God is bringing. That's what he's speaking. But we're not addressing it when we gather. We're more interested in, I'm going to Abba, pray for me. I'm going to Lagos, pray for me. I'm going to business, pray for me. We're not talking about the soul. Hallelujah. It is when you break through the veil that you become a priest. Don't you understand? To be a priest, that priesthood is by birth. Don't you understand? You are by birth. Naturally, you become a priest by being the firstborn. In the spirit, you also become a priest by being the firstborn from the dead. When you break through the veil, you become a son. And that is the priesthood that is coming. So, brethren, we have to look beyond where we are to an experience. Beyond what you hear on television, what you are going to meet people talking about, everything they're telling you is Pentecost, outer court, forget it. That is not going to satisfy God. There is an experience beyond the Pentecostal experience. Okay, so since we have gotten that, let's move forward. Let's go to First Corinthians. Sorry, let's go to Genesis 3, because that's where I was going to. Genesis 3. Now, we're looking at verse 6 of Genesis 3. It says that the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to her eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. So she decided in her will to take the fruit thereof, and did it, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did it. Now, the problem of man is the problem of Genesis 3. And the problem cannot be solved, we cannot overcome, until we go back to Genesis 3. Now, what was happening to Eve? Eve was using the different dimensions of her soul to relate with the devil. So here we see her eyes. Here we see her desire, her emotion, her mind, and her will. So all the natures, all the four dimensions of Eve were emotion. So let me draw on the board. So we will say this circle is the soul of Eve. And this circle has four other circles. Sorry, I need something to clean. So this is the mind. This is the mind. This is the will. This is the emotion. And then this is the desire. This soul of Adam, or of Eve, is dwelling within a body. And as a matter of fact, the spirit of Eve is in the middle of the soul. Ezekiel chapter 1 says that when he saw the appearance of a living creature, it was like the appearance of a wheel in the midst of a wheel. So the spirit is within the midst of the soul. So this is the spirit. I will circle it. This is the spirit. And then this one is the body. It's your body. So let's draw another picture. This is the picture of the tabernacle. This is the picture of the tabernacle. So we will say this soul is here. This is the outer court. This is the holy place. And the most holy place. But this is hell. You call it the world, or you may call it Egypt. But this soul is involved in Baal worship, or the worship of darkness. So when the soul was cast out, when Adam was cast out of the presence of God, where did he go to? He went into outer darkness. The soul went into outer darkness and began to operate. So when you say the soul was cast into outer darkness, you actually mean the desire, the emotions, the mind, the will are all functioning outside. Now, that's not the story. The story is that this soul is taking a journey. The soul is on a journey to the lake of fire. Well, I don't have... Okay, let me put it down. So this is the lake of fire. This is the lake of fire. And then this is hell. In Acts chapter 2, it says that thou will not leave my soul in hell. But I was saying something. For you to function as a priest of Baal, you must have in your nature the nature of darkness. And to function as a priest of Christ, which is shown by the cherubims. Because the cherubims, the only place you find cherubims are in the holiest of all. They have the nature of light. So you must be clothed before you can function like a priest. So the soul has a problem. It has a nature of darkness. The nature of the soul must be changed for it to function here as a creature of light. A creature like someone that loves light and darkness. He said that has loved righteousness and hated iniquity. It's talking about nature. And that is why the old covenant cannot go, because the old covenant could not address the nature of the soul. The old covenant was just a rules and regulations. And that is why rules and regulations will not take us anywhere. The problem of man is the darkness within him. And the darkness must be changed. So he says, I will put my law in the inward parts. Hallelujah. And he says, no man will say to his brother, know the Lord. Because it is a revelation to the soul. Many of us are in this room because we are following another man's revelation. We are here because somebody invited you. You have not seen anything. There was a man called Lot. He was riding on another man's revelation. And you know what happened to him. We are in the place where God is bringing a personal revelation of Christ to the soul. And you must go to God and get it. Of course, we can't even talk about the issue of my pastor said, my pastor didn't say. Well, that we're not even discussing my pastor said, my pastor didn't say. We're talking about every man knowing for himself, having a personal relationship for himself, and receiving a revelation of Christ for himself. Because the problem is in your soul. So this soul is going down. It's on a free fall. I use the word free fall. It's falling. It says, in decaying, you will continue to decay. In dying, you will continue to die. So it's going down and down. But what happens is that he gets arrested somewhere around here. I was arrested when I attended Omarupai Evangelistic Association crusade. I was falling on my way to hell, to the lake of fire, which is the second death, out of which there is no deliverance. The deliverer brought me out of that and set me on the journey. Hallelujah. So say, thou will not leave my soul in hell, or suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Now you must have faith, brethren. I hear people talk and I say people don't have faith. If the devil is so powerful, he couldn't deliver me, he couldn't prevent me from being delivered. You cannot prevent me from entering here. He cannot. I'm the only one that can prevent myself. Yes. Hallelujah. So we are on our way to hell. And then he delivered us. And brought us into this kingdom. This is the kingdom of light. By the way, do you know that when you look at the tabernacle, the first thing you see is a white fence. The first thing you see in the tabernacle is what? The wife is telling you, this is the kingdom of light. Hallelujah. So Colossians said, we have been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his light. Amen. That light is not physical light. It's a spiritual light. The light is in the soul. But there is light and there is light. Amen. This one is a small light. When the darkness grows very, very dark, this one says, my power is over. So the darkness overcomes the outer court. So I cannot stay at the outer court and say I have arrived. It's not possible. In the outer court, of course, you have the liver, and then you have the brazen altar. Now, before you can go in to this holy place, you must come to the place of baptisms, consecration, and sanctification. That is the message of the liver. Consecration, sanctification, baptisms. And each one of them is speaking of death to sin and death to self. Everything you find here is made of brass. Made of brass. And brass means judgment. What is it that is being judged? This soul is being judged. The darkness within the soul is the object of judgment. Within. A work within. They're being judged. And there has to be a consecration before it can go in. Now, what was happening to Eve? Eve desired, she saw something with her eye. The soul of man has six entrances. I saw also with the body. There are six entrances. That's why man was created on the sixth day. Man is the six-dimensional man. Six-dimensional creation of God. This is the main door into the spirit. The mind is the connection between the spirit of God and man. We will read the scriptures in a minute. And then, so this is the Holy Ghost. And then this is God the Son. And then this is the Father. Bro Hubert was talking about the touch, the sense of touch. That's one gate. For Adam, for Eve, she had the sense of sight. She saw. There is a sense of touch. There is the taste. There is the hearing. And then there is the smell. And then this is the sixth entrance. And it's the entrance of the mind. And this is from where the life of God comes into the soul. This is where it's all happening. And Isaiah 11 tells us about it. Now, this is what happens in your kitchen and in my kitchen. This is what happens when you are in the bus. This is what happens when nobody in this room is with you, you're alone. The soul begins to function. There are entrances into the soul. And this is the doorways from which the devil is getting control over us. So let's go to just to read 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians 2. Amen. I believe we are very strong this night. Okay. Amen. Because we must see it in Scripture. Amen. Scripture must tell us about it. Let's read. You can actually read later verses, but let's go to the meat. Let's look at verse 9 says, but as it is written, I had not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Now, read verse 10. It's very, very sweet. But God has what? Revealed them unto us. How?
By his Spirit.
Hallelujah. So, there is a communication from the Spirit of God unto you. And how does this come? Revelation. I know there are people, somebody said doctrine is not good. How can you say doctrine is not good? Everything we have been doing is doctrine. Doctrine is the beginning and the end. The only thing that there is bad doctrine, we don't want that one. Amen. The revelation of the Spirit will bring those things that God has prepared unto us. Now, we will see from the scripture how that comes to us. Definitely, it's very, very clear. There is no derivation, it is definite direct English. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Now, read the next phrase. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Read verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him, a man? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. So there are two things that are important: the Spirit of God and the Spirit of man. Amen. Hallelujah. What does Romans say? That the Spirit of God bears witness with my own spirit, and he's telling me that I'm a son of God. You know so? And brethren, I have been hearing some things. I don't know about you. If you check very well, you too have been hearing. He's telling me that he wants me to be a son. That he didn't create me to be a doctor. He created me to be a son. Hallelujah. It's a revelation. If I come to you and say, now, you are a woman. Say, you are a man. Say, what's this problem again? This brother, he has come again. Why? Because you know. That 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 you are a man. Hallelujah. Or you are a woman, because it is a knowing within you. Hallelujah. That is what he's speaking. That the spirit of man and the spirit of God, actually they came from the same source. If you go back to Genesis again, you will see that it came from the same source. He said God took the clay, isn't it also? The clay is the body. And he said that he breathed into the clay, isn't it also? So the river of God began to flow into that clay. Don't you understand? A river began to flow out of God into the clay, called Spirit. And when that river entered into the clay, where the river met the clay, it formed what they call soul. Hallelujah. So the soul is the meeting point of the heavens and the earth. It is the place where all the heavens meet. And it is a place where all the earth meet. Therefore, when you talk about altar, the only altar in the whole universe is your emotions, is your desire, is your will. It is the place of sacrifice. It is the place where God comes to meet man. It's in the soul. It is in the mind. It is in your emotions and your desire. That is the altar of the heavens. Hallelujah. The only way the devil can ever think of touching God, touching or receiving the things of God, is to have access to your soul. Because God has cast him out of the heavens. And that is why man is very important to the devil. That's why your emotions are important. Why do you think he's getting you every day? You're walking on the road. You spend most of your lifetime on the internet. Young people, Even old people too. Why? Because of the emotions. The energy coming from the emotions. The energy being released from the mind. They call it the information superhighway. All the minds of the whole universe are joined together in what they call Twitter, Facebook, to go. Which other one again? You are toying with witchcraft. You are playing around with magic. You are playing around with sorcery. Manipulation, mind manipulation. Somebody is in his house in New York. He's making your body to shake. Somebody is in Abuja. You see his photograph and you start shaking. No, I will not agree. Jonathan, you haven't seen Jonathan. You have only seen photographs. And you are kicking everybody. No, I will not agree. Because you have seen photographs. Hallelujah. Papu TV here now. Every kind of image you want, you will see it. Where is it? Where is it? It's in a frequency. Hallelujah. Church, wake up. Let's wake up. Hallelujah. We cannot fight the devil where we are. We must up our game. We must change the goalposts. Hallelujah. Say, the gates of hell will not prevail. How would you go to the gates of hell except you hit him hard? Hallelujah. You must go to the gates and block him there. Hallelujah. By the way, God has made the provision. Say, I wisdom, I start bagadam at the entrance of the gate. Don't you understand? God has made the provision. There is something called wisdom. Say, I stand at the gate. So who are you? Hallelujah. Wisdom is the principal spirit of the bride. You want to be a bride? Get wisdom. It stands at the gate. Hallelujah. Say, you're not going anywhere. Who are you? You are unclean. Cast you out. Say, this is the city of the Lord. Don't you understand? The king dwells here. Try to go past Asorog. He says, who are you? Where you come from? We never serve you. You be like Boko Haram. Don't you understand? They are there guarding it. Hallelujah. Say, the Assyrian will not be able to rise up and go through, walk in and out at will. Hallelujah. So we are speaking of these gates. And he is giving us the key. That there is a communication between your spirit and the spirit of God. That's a channel. Hallelujah. So the spirit of God searches and knows everything that is of God. And his job is to bring it to you. To reveal it to you. But how can you hear when you are a correspondent of Al Jazeera? You know, I used to work as correspondent of CNN until I said, God, deliver your son. Amen. Many of us did that prayer. We work as correspondents of different kinds of things, and we are not being paid. It's a free job. You are doing correspondent job. The Holy Ghost is waiting for you. I want to show you. I want to bring heaven into your soul. Don't you understand? That's why we must repent in this community. We must repent. I'm not hearing amen. We must repent. You say, God, I have been a prodigal. I have gone very, very far. Some of us have gone very, very far. No problem. It's not too late. Today, you can say, I will arise and I will go back to the Father. Yesterday, we saw that man. He was in the tombs. But guess what? When Jesus had cast out the devils from him, say he was in his right mind, sitting at the feet of Jesus. Guess where they found Ruth at midnight? At the master's feet. Hallelujah.
The Holy Ghost came to her and said, look, leave all this wheat gathering. Say, see the man there. Follow him. Go with the man.
Hallelujah.
Many of us, we are concerned about how are they singing church song in the church. This is not the right way of singing song in the end time church. This is not the right way of praising the word in the end time church. Then what's the time? Follow the bridegroom. Find out where he is living. Find out where he's going to lie down at midnight, because at midnight he must be found by his feet, so that he can cover you with the borders of his garment.
Hallelujah.
Many of us are like Mary and Martha.
Some of us, they say Martha is good, or Mary is better. Forget it. Lazarus was the one that was better, because he was the one who experienced the resurrection. Don't you understand? There is a Lazarus church. They are dead in the tombs, but they are going to rise. The stone is going to be rolled very well. The carnality is going to be broken off. And say, Lazarus, come forth. The problem is not the tomb. The problem is, are you hearing the call to rise?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
There's a rising.
So let's read that. Let's read that, because we have to pin it down. Verse 12. Now, look at verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might feel, that we might see. Yeah, what's the problem with you people now?
That you might mind, you might know.
God doesn't talk to you with your emotion,
from your desires. He comes for the mind, that you might know.
Hallelujah. The east gate is the mind. The east gate is the mind. Let me write it. That's Isaiah 43, Ezekiel 43. They say the east gate, this gate, is only reserved for one man, the prince. He is the only one that is allowed to go therein.
Hallelujah.
Amen. But do you know what has happened? This east gate has fallen down. The mind is cast down. The mind has become carnal. What does Romans say?
That they that are carnal or flesh do what? They do mind fleshly things. He said that mind is in the realms of the flesh.
And when you talk of mind, you're talking about your understanding, your thoughts, your intellect, your discernment, everything. He says, look, say, as far as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my mind, thoughts, higher than yours. So how is man going to go from a carnal mind to a spiritual mind? Hallelujah.
Brethren, that is the transition we must make.
And that is where the devil will fight you. That's when they will fix wedding, camp meeting. That's when they do promotion exercise. That's when they will give bonanza. That's why everything that they know to catch you, that's when it will happen. You just want to pray. That's when they remember, hey, Braka says you should call him. Look, go and call Braka, then come and pray. As you finish calling Braka, say, hey, Braba says you should go and cut chicken somewhere. As you come back again, hey, Braba says you should come and take some money. Why? Because your mind wants to address God.
Hallelujah.
And say, pa, 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 pa. 9 o'clock news. Let's go here, 9 o'clock. As they finish 9 o'clock news, Nigeria is playing Cameroon. So let's just after tomorrow we'll watch. After that one, you will not say another one. I married you, verse one. That's all. As you finish, I married you, you say another one. You say eclipse number two. A couple. Brother has started from praying, you know, he has ended up in eclipse. Hallelujah. That is. They are carnal. They are all on the floor. The emotions and the desire, those are the, they are the heaviest criminals. Eve saw, he said, I like the fruit. She had a witness, but God said, don't take it. He said, I like the fruit. Samson said, bring the woman. She pleased me well. You know that God says, he said, I like it. What's your problem? So the desire wants it. The emotion says, if you bring it, I will feel good about it. So the two of them, they are called passions. So the passions have taken captive the soul. And they force the will. So, oh yeah, my friend, you must do it now. So the will is okay now. I got to tell you, I do it. So the things we don't want to do, we end up doing. And we become a wretched people. Hallelujah. I was going to draw for you a chart to see. When I was in Gamba, God showed me the four living creatures. I can't tell you how I saw it, but I saw something in the spirit. Amen. This one, you know, is like an ego. Is it not so? The mind. This one can desire darkness and desire light at the same time. This one is like a four-footed creature, a beast called the ox. This one is like a lion. He feeds on the blood of others, on the weakness of others. He takes advantage of people. And these four natures can either dwell at the realm of the sea, or the realm of the earth, or they can actually dwell in heaven. There are three dimensions in which they can operate in. But we are speaking of the six openings. The hearing, the taste, the touch, the sight, and then the smell. I saw a book Friday, I think on Thursday. It's called Emotional Intelligence. I bought it. You know, there's been a revolution in science. You know, there are many things we didn't know before, they now know. And they have found out that the emotion can be intelligent. But we already knew before he found out. Because the desire has a connection to the mind. The mind has a connection to the emotion. And the emotion has a connection with the will. The emotion is connected with what you hear. Eh? If you start hearing when they say, the current music, everything now double. There is that. You can hear it. Hallelujah. Then you come out there, they give you the one you eat. You taste it. Say, no, I must have this one. Their body, everything, their body language finishes. Then you smell. The day you are fasting, you just pass through Mr. Biggs. Says the fasting has stopped. God knows. It's a 7-day fast. Today is the 5th day. At least I have tried. I'm fine. Is it not bad of grace? God will understand. I'll fast next week. Your brother is the same, Mr. Biggs, because of smell. Not to talk of the sight. And these are all ways in which the spirit
having access to us. Amen. That was Eve's problem. She saw. And when she began to see, the next thing, you know, her body, things began to happen in her soul. And she fell. And brethren, this is what happens to us on a daily basis. If we are going to beat the devil, we must go back to the roots. We must go back to the basics. And when the soul says he wants to become a son of God. By the way, the dimension, the longest dimension of the tabernacle is 100 cubits. Okay? And it's feast of sonship. So when you are coming, when he's coming, God has promised you that he will make you a son. You have a promise to be a son. And sonship speaks of maturity. You cannot be a son until you are matured. Hallelujah. This soul must be matured. And when it matures, it uses the word 24 elders. That word elders means maturity. The maturity of the living creatures, where they can bring ministry to God. You think we have seen ministry? We have not seen yet. There is a ministry coming. And that ministry is going to come from within the four living creatures. And that is the ministry that is going to come. Now, for that ministry to come, these openings must be closed. And that was the picture that Isaiah saw. Isaiah saw the picture of the perfected soul. There were a few of those brethren who had a foresight and they saw. We who should be seeing now are not even blind. We are not even seeing. But Isaiah saw it, a young man. Another one called Ezekiel, he also saw the living creatures. Don't you understand? Those living creatures, there are two dimensions. There are the ones that have four wings, the other one have six wings. Hallelujah. We can't get into it today, but man needs an ability to rise. The soul must rise. And you need extra wings. And those are the wings you get. You call it lampstand. These are the wing number one, wing number two, to bring you to the place where your soul is matured. Don't you understand? To break through the veil. You need strength to break through this veil. Huh? That's why this altar has two rings. Two rings made of gold. It is saying that this soul is now ready to be married to Christ. And you see, you need steps. There are steps to carry it. You cannot carry unless you are matured in the spirit. So the soul needs light. Light needs to come into our soul to prepare us so that we can be married to Christ. Hallelujah. So all this talk of holy place, just forget it. I'm just laughing. God is just laughing. Forget it. Holy place is to give you two extra wings, the spirit and the word. He says, my word, when I send my word, it will not come back to me void. It's going to carry you on the wings of an eagle. It's the word of God that can take you from the canal and bring you into the heights of Zion. He says, let us go to the heights of Zion for wheat and for wine, for oil. Don't you understand? For the goodness of the Lord. Say, therefore, we shall sing and shout in the heights of Zion. How many of us are ready to go to these heights of Zion? You have to climb. To climb to Zion, you must decide to detach from the earth. Amen. Hallelujah.
See, this, let's talk about the design for a minute. The desire, this desire, the man is born, he doesn't know that there is anything called God. He doesn't desire God. How is he going to end up here? The appetite must change. The desire must change. Someone said, I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of God. Look, God must give you a new appetite. When you think of God, everything in you will change. All the cells in your body will begin to respond. Hallelujah. Do you know why? When Nigeria is going to play Cameroon, 1 month from the time, my body is already shaking. I say, I now get the message. Count your body. Everything says that when we are without sin or without God, we are servants to sin. When you are in the world, you are a servant of sin. But that's not the story. The story is that when you are here, you are a servant of righteousness. The same dimension, the same strength, nothing broken. Hallelujah. But you see, brethren, we are not desiring it. We must lay hold on God. Those of us who are faith movers, let us have faith. Say, God, create in me a clean heart. Hallelujah. David says that all my being, all my wells, all my springs are in thee, O Lord. He said that they say, seek the face. Say, my voice, my heart says, thy face, O God, will I seek. Hallelujah. Everything in you is rising up to respond to God. It's an offering. The desire must change. This will is fixed to seek darkness. This man says, I am God. And God uses the 10 kings of the earth. Because they told him, say, if you eat of this, you will be as gods, knowing good and evil. So it was a coup, it was a rebellion. Say, join us and we will overthrow God. Hallelujah. Don't you understand? This thing is more than fellowship. God, buy a car for me, buy marry wife for me. It is coup, rebellion. It's about the throne. Don't you understand? It's about the throne. So if God is going to bring you here, there will not be a second coup. There will not be a second coup. Hallelujah. It's a first fool, not before. It's a second fool that is proper fool. Or proper foolish. There has been a first coup, forget it. None of us will ever venture there unless this wheel is broken. And you come to the point where God knows that this one will never rise again. Hallelujah. Man has a will of himself. It is mortally committed to self. Hallelujah. Even when you don't want it, self rises. Does anybody have that problem? Self rises. You wake up in the morning and say, God, today is my best day. I'm the holiest Christian in the world. No problem. Come out from your house now. Before you know it, the self has come up. You say, my friend, what's the problem? Say, my friend, I'm here. That will must be broken. So you can say, not my will, but thine be done. The same thing with emotions. You know, where there is no emotion about God, you come into the house of God, 1 hour, the man is bored, tired. Oh, this brother, he has come again. Can't you just preach short message? Look, we have to be disciplined and preach short message. Go straight to the point. The problem is emotion. No excitement about God. No excitement about the things of God. Yet the same man can watch King Dinah's marriage for 12 hours sitting down. Every food, bring honey, bring your food there, I will eat it here.
12 hours you are watching marriage, watching train. But you come into fellowship, 1 hour, brother says, wasting time. This brother, what's wrong with him? What's the brother? Eh, brother says, it's always, look, don't you know that there are robbers on the road? Let him close. Let him close, let us go. This brother, they have come again. No? Because there's no emotion. And we are covering it up. We're not excited. They have to whip you, sing bread before they can. The thing is that the emotions need a touch from God. That's the passion. You need a touch. And God says, on the day of atonement, you must begin to afflict the soul. You must address the soul. You must bring your desire, bring your will, bring your emotions, bring your mind, and offer it to God. Hallelujah. So the Spirit of God will speak, will make us to know. That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Verse 13. Which also we speak. Speaking has to do with the mind. We speak in the words. Well, not in the words of man's wisdom. Okay? Not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but in the words which the Holy Ghost teaches. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. But the natural man received not the things of God. I will end with this scripture. We can't go all the way, so I'm sure we'll have another time to go a little bit deeper. But we need to draw this picture. Some of the brethren have already seen it before. The red marker, okay. I should use the red. Let's claim part of this. So I was telling you, now he said, using the word here, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. For they are foolishness to him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Verse 15. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. And then 16 says, for who had known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now, there are three types of soul, as I was saying to you. Now, the natural man. So I will draw 6 circles. As I said, some of the brethren may have seen this. This is the Father. This is the Son. This is the Holy Ghost. This is the human spirit. This is the soul. And then this is the body. Now, the natural man, the Greek used the word physikos. Now, it means someone as far as he's concerned, God is dead. He's like a beast. Now, when you see an animal, it has body, it has soul, but it has no spirit. It has no spirit. So, when you see the animals, and of course, we know it's evolution. That's a lie of evolution. Man is not an animal because he has a spirit. That's the difference. He has a spirit. But you can manipulate it. And the devil is a master manipulator. So what has he done? You cancel out the spirit. Cancel out the spirit. So the man has a spirit, but the spirit is detached from God. The spirit is non-functional. The man is the architect of his destiny. Hallelujah. New world order. Just do it. You like a baby, you marry him. A man can marry a man. A woman can marry a woman. A woman can even marry a dog. Carry big dog. My friend, marry me and dog. Dog is my... Why? Because I like it. That is my human right. And now there are political or politicians who want the vote. You say, my friend, what's your problem? This must have a free dash dash. I won't call the country. It's a free country. We are all equal in this country. So why do you want to hate another man? If he wants to marry a man or marry a woman or marry a dog or marry, what's your business? You mind your business and go your way. We don't want any oppression in this country. Is there? That's what the Bible calls the natural man. And based on what your scripture has told you, this soul cannot receive anything from God. Because the Spirit of God must minister. Hallelujah. Amen. And as far as it's concerned, God is dead. He can come out on television and say, God, if you are there, show yourself now. If I count five, one, two, three, four, five, there is no God. Hallelujah. Isn't that what they're doing? If you say your God is alive, let's count now. God, come out here now. One, two, three, four, five. There is no God. Hallelujah. Amen. So, the devil has canceled out the Spirit. And what does it that canceled it? The sin. The devil, God says that your sins have made a barrier between you and me. So, what the devil did was to bring in darkness within the soul of Eve. And that darkness was not just that, it was good and evil. It was the tree. You cannot have a tree without a seed. Hallelujah. The seed has been growing. And the seed must come to fullness. Don't you understand? Everything you see in this world, the political system, the economic system, everything, God is testing it. Let them organize. Let them go to the moon. Let them go to Mars. Let them run up and down, dig down. They have even tried to recreate what they call the Big Bang. You know, that's very smart. Very, very smart. They're even creating a new human being. They created a sheep. Now they are going towards creating, and that's why God is going to stop them. Because that's God's house. Don't you understand? They're going very, very, very close, so God is going to intervene. Hallelujah. Wake up. Brethren, we must wake up. The darkness is increasing. Hallelujah. And they're getting to us now with your Naira debit account. Anywhere you go in the world, you can draw dollars and pounds from your account. It's very confident they will have entered trouble. They have made one giant step into us, a landed bargain. We are now inside. Amen. We are very excited, but we have entered. It's coming. Very close. Very close. So, that is the natural man. And that darkness is growing and increasing. And you want to overtake the whole soul. It says a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. So, that's the darkness. It's growing in the soul. But you see, this man, this natural man, so we've seen the natural man. We've seen the natural man. There's another man. This man dwells in the place called the sea. So this is in Revelation 13. The nations of the earth, the peoples. And this was where God said, come out from your nation. He's not talking about Iraq or Iran. He's speaking of the nations of the natural man. And that's why it says a high priest cannot marry a widow. Because as far as this soul is concerned, God is dead. So Jesus cannot marry this soul. He cannot marry a beast. Do you understand? Even the first Adam didn't marry a beast. Is it the second Adam that will marry a beast? Hallelujah. The last one cannot marry because he can't feel the soul. It's dead. So, something happens and the door opens a bit. Because the blood, something called blood comes. They bring the blood and it touches the mind. Because the mind hears the word of God. Don't you understand? It's the mind gate. God will always speak through the mind. Huh? The word of God comes and begins to, he hears the word of God. So, the word of God brings the spirit. Because the three of them work together, the spirit, the word, and the blood. There are three that bear witness in the soul of man. So, he comes in, and that soul has a life of God, another seed. Alright, the first seed which Adam didn't receive, the seed of life, the tree of life, that blood has it. Now remember when the Holy Ghost went to Mary, what did he do? He brought a seed. And he planted it in the womb of Mary. So this is the womb of the soul. This soul is a womb. And must receive seeds. Amen. And there is a law. Genesis 8:22. As long as the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest will not fail. Amen. And that is why God must have a people. If all of us in this room fail God, he just wipe you out, wipe me out. He will get another man. Hallelujah. So don't let us think that we are be all and end all. We have an opportunity. But if we miss God, he will find another womb that will receive the seed. Amen. Now, when that blood comes, the Bible says that that life quickens the spirit of man. It uses the word regeneration. It quickens. You know what happens? For the first time, the spirit begins to communicate with the spirit of God. And the man say, yeah, God is my father. And it's such an experience that people call it born again. But it is the life of God that has come into the soul and has quickened the man. Hallelujah. But it hasn't solved the problem because the back doors are still open. The back doors are open, have not been addressed. The only thing that can address the back door is the life of God, light. Because the light will shine in darkness, and the darkness will not comprehend. So the Bible says that in him was life, and that life was the light of the soul. Hallelujah. Amen. But you see, he said the path of the righteous is like a shining light that shines brighter and brighter. So when you get born again, it is not all the light you need. You have just seen a little light. But some people run away, they say, oh, we are going to heaven. Which heaven are you going to? You are in heaven and you are going to heaven. Don't you understand? The outer court is a realm of heaven. The holy place is another realm of heaven. The holiest of all is the highest realm of heaven. Hallelujah. In fact, heaven is coming down into your soul. God wants to make my soul a third heaven. Don't you understand? A heaven in which there is no sin, no darkness. So he says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done where? In my earth, as it is done in heaven. Hallelujah. Heaven is coming down. Because he says, I will meet you between the wings of the cherubim. Hallelujah. He said, thou that dwelleth between the cherubim, shine forth. Hallelujah. Brethren, we must go to the place of light. We have stayed in darkness for so long that we are used to darkness. Hallelujah. God says, move forward. Command the people to move forward. Are we ready to move forward, brethren? You have to see it. When you see it, your brother kick you and say, God bless you, brother. Hallelujah. Because he will kick you. He's not perfect. Don't you understand? Hallelujah. You have issues, say, brother, God bless you.
move forward. Say, honey, I love you. I love you. Let's move forward. Hallelujah. Brethren, let's move forward. You need to mend the differences. You need to make quickly. Because there is something I heard. There is a glory and it is coming now so fast. Hallelujah. You know, so the light of God begins to come. So this is a soul that is called sensual soul. It is called, it's a soul ruled by his senses. He's born again, no problem. But he's ruled by his senses. When he goes to the market to buy television, he wants to buy the biggest one. Because he's a king's kid. Don't you understand? He's free. Hallelujah. Anything he wants to do, he does, he follows his body. He's sensual, he's ruled by his senses. So, all the back doors are active. He still receives life from God. And the Bible gives us a very good example. Do you know him? Samson. Samson is a very classic example of the sensual, sense-ruled, directed Christian. Once in a while, the power of God comes upon him. He destroys the flesh. The Philistine speaks of the flesh. Isn't that so? When he comes here in church, my God, he can pray and roll all over the place. Hallelujah. But make sure you pay him his 10 naira that I owe him. Because say, my friend, me and you will die here today. Me, I'm from Abreba. You know the same brother that was waving hands everywhere? Do you know why? That's his problem. He hears from God. He has seen the kingdom of God, but he hasn't entered. Do you understand? He has seen the kingdom. He can tell you the kingdom, describe it for you, tell you all the people that go there. He has written a book on it, but he has not entered. Hallelujah. And that is the realm of the earth. It's a religious man. It looks like a lamb, but the nature is that of a dragon. When he speaks, you hear the voice of a dragon. And that is the level of church. And that spirit called the false prophet is there. As we have met, come here now, they are here. They are all over the place, the religious spirits. Amen. It can give you vision. It can give you dream. It can give you revelation. Anything you want, it will give you buckle. If I can even tell you that you can be a homosexual and you are going to heaven. They're there. Spirits of deception. The false prophet. Hallelujah. But you see, that same spirit is the spirit of a harlot. It's a harlot. It's not faithful to Christ. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that this woman in Revelation 14 says they are not defiled by women. He has overcome this spirit of the harlot and that of the widow. But Christ will marry only the wise virgin. So the wise virgin that dwells, so this is the virgin soul that dwells in heaven. Now, this soul that dwells in heaven, all the back doors are closed. There is only one door open. And that is the door of the mind. And that is the east gate. And that's where the life of God comes. Now, I'm sure you are wondering, say, how can I feed on the life of God? My life will be so done. Don't you understand? Everyday Bible, Ezekiel, Philippians, this scripture. What kind of life is it? Can't you just have fun? Anybody wants to have fun here? Fun. Can't you have fun? Hallelujah. Amen. God has to help us to see that there is fun in God. Hallelujah. The problem is that our soul is so carnal that we think that when we come to God, it is dull. When you go to those who go on vacation, where are they going to? They're going to Kenya. Where is the game? Do they go to Australia? It's beautiful. Hallelujah. When they go there, who made those things they want to go and see? No, it's mother nature. Mother nature made them. Let's go and see what mother nature has made. Hallelujah. I'm sure you know the story of the fisherman and the professor. Okay? The rich man and the professor. You don't know about the story of the rich man and the fisherman and the professor? Oh my God. Okay, well, I think we'll end with that. I guess you are getting a bit tired, so we will knock off at this point. You know? It says that a professor was going somewhere and the fisherman was carrying him. He says, my friend, your life must be so dull. So you, what do you do? Say, I'm a professor. Say, I know everything. So really. So what are you doing here? Say, I want to come and spend some time in this place. So the professor is coming from his height and he's going and wants to make his life simple. But the fisherman doesn't have any problem. And at the end of the day, say, look, do you know swimology? Do you know swimology? Say, I know everything. Say, fine. The fisherman jumped inside the sea. Professor was there. He doesn't know swimology. So, we are chasing a mirage. By the time you become a professor, you want to go back to the simple life. Because there's so much problem in the city. You want to go to the village, into a lonely place, and be there and be quiet. But the man said, I have been doing that all my life. Hallelujah. So I think I'm going to end at this point. What I've tried to do is to lay a foundation, which is essential, into the relationship between the tabernacle and the soul, and then to understand the connection between your soul and the realm of the spirit. The spirit is given to feed the soul of man. It is the mind of Christ that feeds the soul of man. I don't think we'll have time to go into it. For these three areas, there is bread. For example, the people who dwell in heaven, they eat a special bread called the bread of heaven. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Hallelujah. There's a bread called the bread of heaven. It is a person. It is Christ. Amen. There's another one called the bread of violence. The bread of wickedness. And the people in this place, or the bread of affliction, say they do not rest until they have done violence to somebody. So when they inflict violence on someone, they are happy. Hallelujah. And Baal worship, the basis of Baal worship is sexuality and violence. Get out of the movies. If you say you want to stay there, no problem. The only things you will see there is sex and violence. They call it glee. You know the one they call glee? House of Anubis. Don't worry, the people I'm talking to know themselves. Glee. House of Anubis. The Prince of Bel Air.
Twilight.
What's the wrong one? The dark prince rises. The dark knight rises. Romeo and Juliet. Cleopatra. Cinderella. What's the wrong one? Dark cities.
Blue Knight, Black Knight, Red Woman, Blue Woman, Green Lantern, whichever one. All of them. Uh-huh. All of them. What is it based on? Sex and violence. Plus witchcraft and satanism. Nollywood has joined them. And there's nothing. The whole thing is called one wood. The waters, you know what is water? The ministry. The life you think you will get from entertainment. You watch Olympics, you will get pornography. People should say yes now. How many of us could watch the Olympics, the last one? Could you sit down and watch it? Don't watch it now. Nobody will tell you. What they're going to do. You will run into your room and say, God, have mercy on me. I will not go again. They will ask you, would you go again? Say, I won't go again. The dressing. They are virtually naked. Is it not so? Is there anyone you can watch? Ordinary tennis. The dress is here. They are playing tennis. The dress is here. And you want to watch. So, the whole thing is dead. But there is a place where there is life. Hallelujah. And as I said, that we spend money for that which is not. We spend our time for what is not bread. Hallelujah. So, this is the history of the soul. And this is what governs the light that comes into the soul. So, I'm going to stop at this point. And when we have time, we are going to take it forward. And then we are going to get into other more practical. But the point that is being made is that we are in the time of atonement. The day of atonement is a period of time that the soul must be prepared. It is the time when the oil must be applied in the vessel. The Bible says the spirit of man is the candle or the lamp of the Lord, giving light to the inward parts of the belly. The belly speaks of the emotions, your will, my desire. It must have light. The light must come from the Holy Ghost through your spirit into the soul. Brethren, that is why we have fellowship. As a fellowship, we have failed. Now, when I'm saying failed, you know, Brother Hobart said, you have to qualify. I didn't say I'm not doing anything good. We have many good things, but the meat of the matter we are not addressing. Because the basis of the first resurrection is that we must overcome the beast. We must not worship the image. We must not have the mark. We must not worship the number of his name. We have seen it. This is the nature of the beast. We must overcome it. It must be the burden of fellowship, the burden of ministry. It must be the burden. When we gather, that is the number one. And I don't feel it. I don't feel it. I don't feel it. And we are lost our testimony. All these young children, they don't even know. Those of us who are older, they don't. If you ask them now, what is the burden of why we're here? He said, we don't have pastor. Is that why we're here? We don't have pastor. All the other ones, you share, I share. What is the other one? When you are going to Abba, you tell the brethren, they pray for you, so that they know you are going to Abba. That is body ministry. That is the vision we have told them. Because even the adults do not understand. We do not understand. It's not a question of Bible study and come and teach. No. It is the mind of Christ. It's a mind that comes from heaven and begins to water. Don't you understand? The soul is God's house. He knows how to dress the house. He is going to dwell in the house. So he has sent his spirit to prepare it. Hallelujah. There are different dimensions and rooms. Ezekiel's temple, you can't check it. There are different dimensions and windows and layers. And you know those places, demons have gone, they have lodged. He said, this is my house. I'm not going to go away from my house. And those spirits have been there a long time. So you cannot drive us away from this house. It's our own. And they're doing it to spite God. since you say man will be Christ. Do you understand? We are talking about throne, Godhead. This is beyond doctor or lawyer or whatever you call yourself. This is about the throne. God says you will be the fourth person in the Godhead, if I use that word. Do you understand? We are talking about throne, authority, government. Brethren, we need to wake up. This is beyond Naira and Kobo, supermarket, the point, kill. I want this car, buy the car for me. I want this dress. This childishness. We need to understand it is a matter of the throne, government. And you cannot get to the government until you are tried.
Hallelujah. The soul must be prepared. Must be beheaded. And it must have the nature of the cherubim. Hallelujah. Because I will meet you between the wings of the cherubim. That means my soul must be like that of the cherubim before I become a bride. It's a tall order. Hallelujah. We need to redefine fellowship. We need to redefine leadership in the house. We need to redefine where we are going to. Because we have lost direction. No vision. Just moving around. Hallelujah. But thank God for another experience. Thank God for a visitation. Because God has begun to move again in our generation. Hallelujah. And me, I don't want to miss it. Hallelujah. I say, God, give me one more chance. Hallelujah. Some of us had the first chance, and we know it's gone. God is just starting something fresh. And I pray that we can see it. And you know, when the man sees it, he says everything. Say, this one is the price. I'll buy it. Hallelujah. It's going to cost something. Consecration. You see, this lever had legs. It had a base. If I can touch it a bit. Sorry, I'm trying to squeeze in as much as I can. The lever has a base. Has a leg. Solomon made 12 oxen. 3 on each side. 12. Carrying you call it the brazen sea. When the Babylonians came, the first thing they did, guess what? Was to cut off the bases. And they carried the brazen sea into Babylon. The strength of our consecration is lost. We are not consecrated people. We are not consecrated people. We speak it by mouth. They don't feel the power of the consecration. Because the Babylonians have come. They have cut up the vases. They have carried the vessel into the temple of their God. Hallelujah. When the book came, he carried the vases. He carried the princes and the nobles. He took them to the house of his God. They began to start. That's how Mordecai got there. That's how Daniel got there. Don't you understand? They left the feeble. So what you find today are just feeble anointing, feeble miracles. The substance has been carried. But God is going to raise the Belshazzar. Amen. Hallelujah. There's a ministry coming. And that ministry is going to bring judgment upon this Babylon. That the vessels of the house of the Lord are going to be restored. Amen. I'm one of those vessels. Say, Babylon hath been a golden cup in the hand of the Lord. You know what it means? That this soul was once in the realms of glory. Don't you understand? Adam was feeding in God's garden. God was feeding him. There was a river. Went into four ways, into the four dimensions of the soul, was watering him. Has the word of God come to you before? You feel it. For as long as that unction is there, you can't do anything. Ask Isaac, where is he? Let him start shouting, you know. When the anointing comes, when you hear God's voice, there is nothing you can compare on this world to God's voice. Tell me what is better than that voice.
And you know, we can have that, we can have that experience on a continuous basis. David said, "One thing have I desired, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord, to behold his face, and to inquire in his temple." As a medical doctor and as a researcher, I have looked at the microscope. I'm still wondering how God made the human body. You look at this eye. When you look at the cells, and somebody say, "God is boring." My God. This one says, "It's a professor of mosquito. He only knows the mosquito that came from Nkalago." Then the other one says, "I'm a professor of mosquito from Iceland." The other one is a professor of the tiger that is the in Asia. And they say there is no God. Hallelujah. Man has fallen, but we are going to rise. We are rising. Hallelujah. There are mysteries in God. Hallelujah. If God begins to open the word, just the scripture, just one verse begins to open. For 1 week, you have not gone one inch. You are just on one verse. And you say God is dull. Hallelujah. We are the ones done. We are the ones dense. In fact, the Bible said there is a veil on our heart. That Hebrew word means for us. That is, when the life of God comes, you cannot retain it. It is so hardened. So that word, that hardened heart, needs to be soaked in water of the word. You need to soak it with oil. Hallelujah. When the oil and the water mix in, they can recover the life of the vessel. Don't you understand? That's the heart. Many of us, our hearts are so dead that we can't feel God. We can't sense God. Hallelujah. Even when God comes to us, we don't feel it. But there is hope for us. Hallelujah. And that's why God has brought us here, to give us another chance. I believe God has given us another chance. Hallelujah. There are two kingdoms, and there are two cities, and the soul must decide where it will be, in the house of Saul or in the house of David. He dwell in Zion or he dwell in Babylon. Hallelujah. No one can make that choice for us. Every man must know the Lord for himself. Whether you're a child or you're an adult or you're a man, you're a woman, God is calling us to be all sons of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Let's pray. I'm not here to say anything, but to lead us to pray. Amen. Hallelujah. We have had it all. And it is left for every one of us to take a decision. It is such a heavy word that needs repentance from every one of us. It is not a time to joke. It is not a time to justify ourselves. It is not a time to pass the buck, but it is a time to repent, to surrender, and to say to God, "Have mercy." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let us bow our heads and begin to respond to the word we have just heard. Let us begin to pray. Let us begin to ask God for a touch. Hallelujah. I believe sincerely in my heart that as we turn our hearts to God and begin to repent and begin to ask Him for mercy, He will hear us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let everyone begin to address the matters concerning his soul, so that the spirit of the man knows the man. So you know, a sinner need not to be told that he has sinned. He knows that he has sinned. So we all know ourselves. Let us begin to ask God to do something to deliver our souls. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It is truly another chance, and let us not miss it. God has come down, and he says that he will not despise a contrite heart. Anyone that comes to him, he said he will not reject. And so tonight, as we turn our hearts to him, our God that is faithful, he will do that which he has said. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yes, in our fallen state, he has come to us that we can arise. Let us take this opportunity to ask God to quicken our mortal bodies. That spirit in Christ that raised him up said it is in us, and it is able to quicken our mortal bodies, and we shall also rise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Take the final step. Take a step further. Some of our colleagues are in beer parlors. They are doing a lot of things, but we are here. That means you have taken a step. Why not take the next step that you might enter in? Let us begin to forget ourselves, for we are nothing. Let us begin to forget, yes, the things that we think affect us. Let us not respond to this world. Let us forget ourselves and begin to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let us begin to ask of him the virtues, the characters of Christ, the characters of Christ, love, yes, forgiveness. Hallelujah. As you open your mouth to ask, he is ready, he is faithful to give us. He said that there is no good gift he will withhold from us. Hallelujah. Remember his word. He said that if it is not so, he will not say it. So whatever he says, he means it. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. This is a time for sober reflection. What had my life been? Is this something that I should continue with? Or is something I have to lay at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ? That as I leave even tonight to the hostel, I will be a different person. Hallelujah. It is all dependent on our decision. Hallelujah. No man will take decision for the other. Each one, whether you are young or old, you need to take that decision now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let us continue to pray. Let us begin to ask God that tonight, the things in us that are not of him be cast down. Let them be removed. Let the foreskin be cut off. Hallelujah. Let us surrender ourselves that he will make us a new man. A new man in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. What are your cares? What are your worries? He said, lay them at my feet. Lay them at my feet. He is ready to carry all. He is ready to heal. He is ready to make alive that which is ready to die. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We are a special people. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. We are a special people, and so He has come to speak to us specially that our souls will not remain in hell. Yes, that our souls will not see corruption. Oh, my God. You are such a wonderful Father. You are so good. There is none like unto you. That even when we do not know you, yes, at the depth of sin, you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, die for us, that we might have life. Hallelujah. Brethren, it is an opportunity for every one of us to take hold now. Do not let this opportunity go. Do not let this opportunity go, brethren. Let us begin to pray. Let us begin to lay bare our hearts unto the Master. That the things that are in opposition to the kingdom of our God, we begin to be cast down. We begin to give way. Hallelujah. I said that the ancient gates will be lifted. That the King of Glory, hallelujah, that is all that He is saying. He wants to come in. Let us begin to give Him the chance to come into our souls. We begin to come and make that difference that is required, that we might make it, that the work that was started before the foundations of the earth, that which has come to reinstate, yes, man to his first estate, will not be a vain in our lives. It is a great work that the Lord has done. Let us take that opportunity tonight and begin to bear our minds to the Master and begin to ask of Him to recreate us, to give us that spirit, that right spirit of His, that we might be a new people in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we bless your name. We thank you because you haven't done this for us because of our righteousness. You haven't done it because of our goodness. But Lord, you have done it by your mercies. Because you love us, we bless you, Lord. We come tonight unto you, our Father, that you will give us grace, Lord, the ability to receive your word. You will give us the grace to come down unto you as we are, that you might wash us. He said you will sprinkle clean water upon us, and we shall be clean. Father, sprinkle upon us this clean water tonight. Sprinkle this clean water upon us, Lord, and we will be clean. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we are asking, Lord, that the hardened hearts be broken. Give us hearts of flesh to to receive your word. Give us the heart of flesh, our God, that your word that has come will fall on this fertile ground to bring forth fruit and much fruit. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We come to bind the strong man. Oh, the one that has occupied our souls all this while. Tonight, we come to give a commandment, a command. We say, come out. We bind you and we command you now to come out of us and be cast to the abyss in the name of Jesus. For the Lord Jesus, oh hallelujah, you spirits, hear ye this, that the Lord Jesus has bought us with his own blood, and we are 100% his. And so tonight, we command you to get out now. We command you to get out of our soul. We command you to get out of our emotions. We command you to get out of our wills. We command you to get out of our desires. We command you to come out of our emotions and be cast to the abyss in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. For this is the temple of the Most High God. Hallelujah. And the Lord does not share his temple with another. Therefore, this temple is totally separated unto him from now on. You hear it, spirits. Hear it from tonight that we have nothing to do with you. Our temples are the temples of the Most High God, and nothing of you is found in us, because the Lord Jesus has come to take possession of his own possession. Father, we thank you. We thank you, our Father. We thank you for putting in man your word and giving the strength to bring forth. It's all because of your love for us. Father, we thank you. That this word that has come, Lord, our God, we are asking, Lord, that you touch everyone, that none shall take it with levity. Lord, our God, have mercy upon us, for we know that even understanding has been a problem. Lord, we are asking tonight that you give every man wisdom. Hallelujah. The wisdom that has come with your word, let every man receive his own portion in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we need your touch. Touch us and change our mortal bodies. Let your word, Father, begin to do its quick work in us, that we as a corporate body and as individuals will not remain the same again, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you. We thank you, our Father. We know that you have begun a new thing with us. We are asking, Father, that you help us, that none of us falls by the way. Help us, our Father. Help us, our Father, that we will follow all the way with you unto the end. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. We thank you. We are asking, Father, that this word that we have had tonight, Lord, will take root in us. That the fowls of the air, the scorching sun, and the stony ground will not kill it. For Lord, we are asking that all fall on vital ground to produce fruit, that men will see. Hallelujah. Thank you, our Father. You told the Pharisees, said that they should show forth fruits of righteousness. It is not by mouth, but it is from the heart. Father, we come to you tonight that this fruit will show forth as fruit of righteousness in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, our Father. We bless you. Be thou exalted, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray.
and make us to have a meaningful response to this world. I want us to address the gates of hell. I want us to address the gates of hell. You know, those outlets that receive transmission of the darkness into our soul. You know, I just want us to be specific. Brethren, you know, you cannot give what you don't have. You know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You know, there are gates, there are things that attract. If a man has darkness in his soul, he will attract darkness. But we can begin to address those outlets, those avenues through which darkness has come to our soul. And our brother has outlined them so beautifully. We can take advantage of the knowledge that we have received tonight, so that we can block all those areas. If a man knows the area where death will come to him, the wise man does what? He will block that area. He will run away from it. If I know that this way leads to death, and I have been informed, what do I do? I will make a turnaround. And I want us to respond individually, because it's such a heavy message.
Oh, yes.
We need to respond in a very specific way. Address specific things in our lives. Because if we don't do that, then the benefit of this message will not come to us. We want to maximize the anointing and His presence and the understanding that we have received tonight, so that we can go back a different person. He can go back a man who has received the light. I think with song that I heard come to my soul was, Lord, send the light into my soul. Before we sing this song, please, Isaac, please, I don't know. We just let's sing this song that we can now individually address issues in our life. He said, Lord, send the light to my soul. Oh Lord Jehovah. You know, we used to sing that song before. We didn't know the meaning of it. You know, you thought it was one of those, but that song is so heavy. Oh Lord, send your light into my soul. If the light comes into my soul, I will receive deliverance. You know, light is information. We have received information tonight. We have been told how to order our lives. We have been told how to walk. We have been told how not to speak. We have been told how to respond to situation. We have received information. And we want to walk right. He said, the steps of the righteous man are ordered by the Lord. The Lord has ordered our steps tonight. And we want to walk aright. I want to walk out this place a different man. I want to walk out with something in my heart touched and change. The direction should change towards light. Because that is where life is. Where there is light, there is life. Hallelujah. If they take light here now, everybody's in darkness. It's as if you are quenching life. When the light comes back, everybody is happy. No wonder why when they say Nepal has come, children start jumping and shouting. Because it speaks of life. Life has come to us, brethren. We have received life. Let us maximize it. Can we sing that song? Lord Jehovah, send light into my soul. In the name of Jesus, send the light. Send the light. Jesus, send the light. You are saying that I will not dwell in darkness. You are making a pronouncement. You are making a commitment. I will not dwell in darkness. And because you will not dwell in darkness, the Lord will send the light. Hallelujah! If you decide that you will not dwell in darkness, God will definitely send the light. And the light has come tonight. The light has come to them that dwell in darkness. And we have received it with joy. And we ask the Lord to accomplish the purpose for which this light came into our soul. Let us begin to address issues in our lives. Brethren, let us begin to address issues in our lives that this light can deal with, that the light has the capability and the capacity to deal with. Say, woe is me. I don't know whether you can make that. Say, woe is me. When you look at situations in your life, you begin to cry out and say, woe is me. And you begin to ask the Lord to set your innermost parts, the deeper recesses of your heart, and that darkened place. Lord, unveil my heart. Unveil my heart, Lord. Let the word strike the deeper part of my life. Oh my God, this realm that I have dwelt, the realm where I have dwelt, Lord, I own it up tonight that your light will shine. And he said, the light shineth, and the darkness comprehended it not. The darkness will not comprehend the people of God, because the light has come. Darkness will not end us. The light has come. Everything that speaks of darkness, everything that speaks of darkness, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, all the things that speaks of darkness, because the light has come tonight, there will be judge. The light of God has come. Everything that speaks of darkness in our lives, the pride within my heart, the jealousy within my heart, the sin of lust in my heart, all the things that are within this heart, because the light of God has come tonight, they will be judged. There will be no place, there will be no room, there will be no room, no room. Every region of our hearts, the light of God will come unto it tonight, and there will be judged. God, clean your hearts, O Lord. Total cleansing of the heart tonight, because light has come. The darkness will not comprehend the people of God. We address all the gates of hell tonight. We address all the gates of hell. We address the gates of hell. He said they will not prevail over us. The gates of hell, the gates through which the enemy tried to quicken us, all the different outlets the enemy tries to lure us, the pool of hell, the thing that drag us out of the God's presence, we say, because the light has come tonight, they will be judged. Lord, judge them. Judge the gates of hell in our life, that they will be taken away. Lord, that your light will shine to give us life, that will be lifted out from the realm where we are, to dwell in the heavenlies. That is where we want to be. To be united with you, seated together in heavenly places. Hallelujah. To be joined with the Lord at the point where we will have communion. For he who is our spirit will be joined with the Lord. We join with you tonight that we might escape the corruption that is coming upon them that dwell on earth. We lift, hallelujah, the banner of Jesus. We lift your banner up, hallelujah, as a sign of where we want to dwell. Therefore, darkness will not swallow us. Thank you, Lord, because we are prayed in Jesus' name. Amen.
Ask you, Lord, tonight that you might recover us. That you might recover us from the place of the dead. Lord, we have been a people that have known tombs. And in the tomb, in the graveyard, Father, we have torn ourselves apart. Spirits, oh God, have torn us apart. My God, we have fed among the dead. We are considered dead. My God, but tonight we ask you, Lord, that you might come our way and recover us from this grave site. Recover us from the place of the dead. For Lord, so it was with the man of the gatherings. You recovered him. A man dwelling in gatherings, gathering that speaks of a place of treasure. Oh God, a precious place. But a man, oh God, departed from the land, but went into the place of the dead. Lord, tonight we confess that we have been with the dead. Lord, we have been with the dead. Everything within us speaks of death and darkness. But Lord, tonight, Lord, let there be a recovery. In the name of Jesus, oh God, we acknowledge that there are legions. Legions within us. My God, but tonight, Lord, let there be a recovery. Lord, let the spirits be taken away. Oh God, you are the man. The man said, where will I send them? Okay. Father, Lord, tonight, we determine and we decide that this spirit be sent into the abyss. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Lord, let them no longer have rule. Lord, let them no longer have control over our lives, my Father. Lord, this is our prayer tonight, dear Lord. Oh God, Lord, that you might clothe us in our rightful mind. My God, that we might receive the mind of Christ. Lord, this is our prayer tonight. You say you have not given us, oh God, the spirit of fear. My God, you said you have given us a sound mind. Lord, tonight we ask of you, give us sound mind. Oh God, take away this crooked mind, this mind that is inhibited with wickedness. Lord, take it away from us, oh God, and clothe us in our rightful mind, my God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we rebuke the darkness. My God, you said that our light is even darkness. Lord, tonight we rebuke darkness within. In the name of Jesus, we ask, oh God, that the glorious light of the gospel might shine in our soul tonight. Father, this is our prayer, dear Lord. In the name of our Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, because this is the beginning of the many things you will do this weekend. Lord, you will visit us. You will transform us. You must have a people that understand what you are saying and doing in this hour. My God, the other peripheries of religion, the other, oh God, appendages of religion. My God, we pray that you will judge them tonight. Amen. That their people be free. Yes. From every block and every covering of religion. That we might confront the throne of God in sincerity. My God, that you might loose the chains, oh God, that have bound us to the earth. God, that you might change the people. Lord, this is our prayer tonight. In the name of our Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord. We bless you. We worship you.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Just a minute. Hallelujah. You know, before the word started, the Lord was speaking to me that this word is going to be really heavy. is going to be heavy upon our soul. Hallelujah. And I saw it, hallelujah, coming. And but after that, I think Brother Hubert raised a song, and I saw a garden well arranged, and the plants were all in their ridges. Hallelujah. But they needed water. They were dying. Hallelujah. And suddenly I saw it was like a sprayer came and started spraying the garden with water. Hallelujah. And I know of surety that the Lord was bringing water to this gathering. And I know He is coming to water His people. Yeah, for we have been in a place of dryness. We have been in a place where there has been no life. But the Lord is saying that in this gathering, He's going to visit the people and He's going to water them. He says that we are the planting of the Lord, that He's going to water His plants. As many as will open their hearts in that there is a watering that is coming. And there is going to be a season of refreshing that will come upon His people as we open up to Him, said God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Blessed be. Lord, we pray that you will fulfill your word.
Yes, Lord.
Fulfill, cause it to come to. Lord, let your word be fruitful unto a people.
Yes, yes.
In the name of Jesus, take away every frivolity and every jamboree that we attach to such a gathering. And Lord, bring a sobriety and a quietness. Oh God, that there will be a watering. Oh God, that come even with it. We bless you, our Father. In Jesus' name. Amen.